Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Surreyor Global Fantasy Football Podcast. This week, myself, Hybe Index, and You'll Never Walk Alone are delighted to be joined by experienced US-based managers, Jimmer and Black. So this week, we'll be discussing the huge news of Gerard Piquet joining the team as strategic advisor. We're going to hear more about Jimmer and Black's Surreyor experiences. So I believe there are a bunch of jokers here, so should be a fun episode. And a look at game week 1-8 over the festive period. So welcome, guys. A pleasure to have you on.
Appreciate you having us.
Welcome, guys. Lovely to see you both. And I've been looking forward to this one. Not that I'm looking forward to our previous guests, but
I do have a bit of an issue with the experienced US managers. I mean, you're giving us a lot of credit.
I was going to chime in on that one as well.
Well, I'm going to disagree because I was the one that passed you all the experience. So I think if we don't put experience in there, it's a bad reflection on myself.
That is absolutely true.
You know, that word did come in based on the length of time you've been in the platform. I'm not commenting on the quality of that experience, but the experience is certainly there. The quality, I don't know. I'll leave that for you guys to tell us more about. But yeah, who are we going to start with? Tell us about your Surreyor journey. How did you join the platform? How did you see it?
I think Jimmer wants to talk first.
All right, I'll start. So probably ever since I was a kid, I was really interested in children's books. And... No, so that was one of my favorite things that happened on the Discord was the people coming in thinking that it was a company that sold children's books. So I always like to chime in and have that joke.
I think I missed that one. So yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Well, some of the people that write on Discord, they haven't even got that into their head yet. So
yeah, there's the experience. That's the experience I have. So I was really interested in the space like when crypto started taking off in 2017. I really was looking at different projects and the non-fungible token space really seemed to make sense to me. I'm kind of a hoarder. So this is finally a way to hide all of my things from my family and my wife and not have to get rid of them. So I got interested in a game called MLBC. I think we've heard from Surface to Air Missile before. I really enjoyed that game. One of the main purposes of that game was to try to get more interested in my local sports baseball team, which is the St. Louis Cardinals. Worked very well. Went to a couple of home openers. Went to a lot of games before that even, but was never really interested in the result. Mostly the expensive beer. But after that, kind of fell apart. I'd been contacted repeatedly by Mark, just relentlessly. And I kept feeding him, you know, I'm not so interested in the teams or, you know, I'm trying to maybe focus on something else. But he is one of the major reasons why I joined. I actually got a nice referral reward once the automated system came into place. And I was messaging him. I was like, was I your referral back in, you know, 2019? Turns out I was. So, and then at that point, when I was really interested, I got contacted by a large investment firm. We started talking numbers. No, just kidding.
Was it my pool by chance?
Yeah, I think it was Black's pool.
Okay.
When I really got started, there was this awesome promo that was going on. And that was what really kicked me off back in, I think, July of 2019. People may not want to hear how awesome this promo was, but I'll say it anyway. So it was, you buy 5 rares and you get to automatically upgrade one of those to a super rare for free. Chose, also disclaimer, probably going to pronounce many team names wrong and many players' names wrong.
We could spend a lot of time on that, Jimmer.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We have in the past.
We've come up with a lot of nicknames for players just to get away with it. So it's like, you know, you're trying to talk to a friend that you don't remember their name. You're like, Chief or Buddy. And you've got a lot of princes and lords and all sorts of different.
The Jester is my favorite.
Yeah. But I ended up picking Yari, who is probably one of the better ones from a utility standpoint. Ochoa and Felipe Anderson. Also great players for when the Liga MX was covered by Opta. And Felipe Anderson has just been a stud. He's been so good.
What's Yari's surname?
The V-Spot. I don't know.
V-Spot. Is that what we call him?
No, I only ever... I've never
you just avoid it.
It.
It's just
never
Yari.
I've spoken it into words, so I don't know.
Let's go.
Jim has been in a coma for 12 months. Felipe Anderson's been a stud in the game. Which game week are you playing at the moment?
It was a bit of sarcasm.
He's still stuck in the replay weeks.
Oh, yeah. Don't give me. Okay. And then, okay. So finishing off my history, you know, I really wanted to get in. I've been playing casually and it's been awesome. But I similarly want to get interested into the Liverpool fandom. I've got a lot of close friends that, you know, we're into St. Louis Cardinals baseball. That worked. I also want to get into, you know, following Liverpool more. I'm not so sure I'll be able to actually afford them, and but it'll be very interesting.
Don't listen to Mark. There are clubs in Europe, very big clubs outside of Liverpool. They are not the only team you should be looking to follow.
Yeah, you've got Liverpool Reserves, you've got Liverpool Ladies Team.
I think you've been led down a path here, James.
You've got the under-23s, you've got under-18s, they're all sorts.
Well, to be fair, they were kind of more interesting to me because a lot of my closer friends were following.
Have you ever heard of Hibernian?
I've not.
Far superior club.
Tell us more.
Yeah, we'll talk about this more offline.
That's my story.
You're still living off Philip Anderson in game week 129, yeah?
Always talk to Surface Air Missile because I talk to him a lot, kind of just, you know, shooting back and forth on like what makes sense to play. It was probably a solid month and a half of him going to Porto where I was starting him and I was like, I think it's the week. It was never the week.
He subbed on a few times now.
He started the last game in Europa.
Was it a cup game or was it a cup.
It was when Diego Costa played.
Okay, nice. Yeah, so I guess I'll just go right into my story. It's very similar to James's where Mark just hounded me over and over and over again.
I think we need to just rewind a little bit here. I think the hounding's a little bit harsh.
I don't think it is.
It sounds like I'm sitting on a street corner peddling for a K-League referral every 5 minutes or something. I would have peddled a lot harder had the K-League been back then.
I think you had the foresight to know the K-League and J-League was coming and you just wanted those referral rewards. So this is back, March? I think March of 19. I'm playing MLBC with Jimmer and Surface and all these guys. I mean, there was probably, I don't know, 15 of us that ended up making the jump from MLBC to SoRare. So I had the same excuse as James had. Well, I don't know any of the teams. I don't know any of the players. It was too difficult for me to get involved. I just didn't understand any of it. I didn't know any of the players, but I loved the space. I collected baseball cards as a kid. I support the same baseball team here in St. Louis that Jimmer does, which is funny. We actually met through this project or through MLBC and SoRare. We didn't know each other beforehand and you know, fate brought us together, I guess.
And now we're in love.
It's a beautiful story, isn't it?
Whoa. I do remember, though, I invited James to one of our indoor soccer games here in St. Louis, and he came, and I was like, hey, whatever you do, I don't want to hear anything about MLBC in front of... I was just like, I didn't want to turn it into, like, this big thing where we were all talking about it. I don't know. I was like, afraid that he was going to come out and nerd out on MLBC.
So to your friends, you actually met it on Tinder. You don't tell them about MLBC.
It was a different app.
Yeah,
similar concept, but it was different. It was named differently.
Yeah. So, any rate, we moved on to SoRare. I started buying a ton of rare cards. I just, like, anytime I saw something on the auction market, I would just scoop it up. Anything under 0.1, just scoop it up. And I had no idea what I was doing. I just bought a bunch of random players and, you know, here we are.
But both of you, I remember vividly, apart from the hounding, the early parts of your journeys. And, you know, with Surface, myself, I think we all bounced around ideas, you know, trying to optimize teams and what have you. But since then, I mean, you've both grown considerably. I mean, in terms of your knowledge, in terms of, you know, your contribution to the community, I think sometimes gets overlooked. There are some interesting characters. Unfortunately, you know, as the game scaled, you know, there's some less interesting characters as well, I think, for that diplomatically. But there still seems to be a core of us that, you know, you log in. And for me, anyway, you go into the forum and you like to see certain messages or even if it's just an emoji reaction from someone. And I think because you guys are in a slightly you're in a different time zone to me, when I get up in the morning and I see, you know, what might have gone on overnight, quite often there's a little quip in there, or you can see you've kept things ticking over in terms of the humor. And I think that's really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree. I think one of the biggest reasons why I haven't, like, you know, tried to just put it away, and one of the things that's keep me going is the community and like establishing the relationships with you. Like, I've been really excited just to have a conversation with you too, Mark. I've been, you know, I met up with Andy in person and we started playing soccer together and I've hurt myself multiple times, but just, you know, meeting people and talking to people and establishing small groups has been awesome.
Have you told Black about our private founders group that we've had now for nearest damn it over 2 years, and, you know, he's still not had an invite yet? You told him about that one?
Oof. Which one?
The founders club.
Oh, that was a whole different game.
Oh, we can make it comfy. We can make it surreal related.
Yeah, sure. The one that's dead, that doesn't, nobody talks in there anymore.
Well, the one we got, guy we've got to get over is JUI. He still owns a 1 of 100 Declan Rice from the very first season and a 1 of 100 Vanaken.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever played them in a in an SO5 tournament.
I reached out to him about 6 months ago and told him what he was sitting on. So you can't be stealing those from him.
Oh no, I mean we talk about, because he's got a really impressive physical card collection, and he always taps me up about, you know, who's this guy for Dortmund, who's this guy. I think he's specialized in buying physical cards now for pretty much any potential major breakthrough talent in Europe. And I don't know, I've not been in that mindset of collecting physical cards since I was a teenager, you know, the Panini sticker albums.
I'm shocked he hasn't come over and just totally geeked out on this.
I mean, we all know what he spent on the MLBC stuff, and you know, there's precious little to salvage from that. And if you're going to be going into the world of physical soccer cards with no knowledge of soccer, you know, there's definitely communities he can take advantage of and pick up digital versions as well. But again, that was my question. You've come from baseball collecting, you said there, Black, in terms of what's the difference in mindset you see from the digital side that we do now in this sport and, you know, potentially other sports that might come in the future versus, you know, the physical side of things?
Yeah, so the interesting thing to me as a kid, you know, I collected baseball and hockey cards, which... the most interesting thing was the Beckett magazine. We all had, I don't know if you guys even know what that is, but it was this magazine. You'd go to the card store. It was every month this magazine came out, and it would have all the cards listed. You could look up the cards that you owned, and you could find out how much they were worth based on a player's performance or whatever. The card values might go up or go down, you know, a little bit. You're always looking for that little green arrow pointing up, you know, that meant your card went up in value. But I mean, really and truly, that's what HG is built with, So Rare Data. And now to have that digitally, be able to, it's searchable. I can look up my player. I can look up my card. I can get a pretty decent average value of what it's worth. I mean, that's where I think this space just really blows away the physical market. The price discovery is so much easier.
And then the ability to trade as well. I mean, if you back in the past with your hockey cards or your baseball cards, if you found something that someone else owned, or how would you go about finding something that you might be missing that would improve your collection? Or if someone approached you and said, can I buy that one off you? How would you actually go about doing it?
I'm taking my binder of cards to my grade school recess, and I'm hoping that somebody else does too.
Right. Okay. So the fact now that, you know, at the touch of a button, we can interact, you know, multiple cards for one card plus ETH for your cards.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can multiple third party sites as well.
Yeah. Or who knows, somebody might just shoot me an offer that I'm interested in, and I'll just click accept. Right. I mean, just the ability to reach that many people is game changing.
That was one of the interesting things to me about the space, was being able to have transparency into the supply, because if it was physical cards, you have no idea how many there are. You have no idea who has them. And that's a huge barrier to doing things like trading in a trading card game.
You bring up a good point there with transparency on scarcity. I mean, the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card from Upper Deck is very widely known as being overprinted. When it first came out, everybody, that was like the holy grail. Everybody wanted this card, but Upper Deck over the years just printed and printed and printed it. And now it's so, it's been printed so many times, it's a worthless card. I have one in the basement. I mean, it's on the, literally on the floor in my basement. It's worthless.
You keep it on the floor just
to it's a reminder.
Yeah, it's a reminder that it's trash.
but I think that's a good point. You talk about the scarcity there. So I've been seeing a lot of tweets recently around the physical card element. There's been people who are in the football index, the footstock, the surveyor space, who seem to be also looking at this and dabbling with it. And I've also added some of these people as I've gotten involved with Surreal. And having a look at it, I've not spent a lot of time, not really, you know, just from the off, I felt this is not for me. There are far too many cards in circulation, and that's not, it's not always controllable. So it really depends on the demand at that time with a lot of these cards. Sometimes Panini or Topps, they're just literally printing as many as there is demand at that starting point. And yeah, I'm not sure there's going to be enough future demand for these, and I've got no way of really assessing that. Whereas on Surreyor, you do. You have those tools in Surreyor Data. You know the limitation of the cars that are going to be printed on a yearly basis, but also over the course of that player's career. So you can really drill down to how many cars are going to be in circulation, and you know, try to identify value in the current market, and then how this market evolves in the future is a bit of speculation. But yeah, it's far more simple to understand, to make that judgment on how much this card is worth in the physical card space, which I think is just pure speculation and yeah, a lot of times hype and around personal preference, whereas it's something that actually underpins the value of these cards in the tournament structure, in the payout rewards that we get with them. So,
well, I guess you can derive your enjoyment from number of different in a number of different ways, and I guess the physical card side of things, I remember, yeah, there is that joy of opening up something which you don't know what's inside and then discovering something which you never knew you were looking for, but then it's there. And I think sometimes, you know, I mean, we've all played the game now for a long period of time, and when you look at the Surreyor auctions and the cards are coming up now thick and fast and they're relentless, maybe I'm immune to auctions these days. It's like I overlook 80-90%, and yeah, there isn't that same perhaps initial buzz that I would get about, okay, let's refresh the page today, what's coming out on auction, what are the cards, do I need to set an alarm for anything? And I guess that buzz is always perhaps there with the physical cards. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, and from the accounts that I see, certainly that opening of the packs and finding that quite rare card within
that silver Felipe Anderson,
that certainly does have an appeal. And I think I'm quite similar to yourself. So maybe setting alarms in the early days, but as you amass a bit of a collection, you don't necessarily need to do that for the auctions. I think it's slightly different as new clubs join, but maybe there is that added appeal from opening a pack and getting a random reward.
So fast forward, 12, 18 months now. What advice would you give to someone that was being hounded by someone that wanted to join Surreyor?
Become a Liverpool fan.
Oof.
No.
I actually really, so when you did say experienced earlier, I did see some of that very recently, especially with some of the generosity coming up with some of the weekly tournaments and the payouts, trying to get some of my friends interested, the friends that are those Liverpool fans, trying to walk them through the draft and trying to give them advice as to who to play, very overwhelming and difficult. So my advice would be try to stick to one league, look at a league, find out, especially, I mean, if you're in it to play and you're in it to play immediately, look for a league that has a lot of games left, right? Look for a European league that is halfway through the season and look specifically at those cards. If you're, you know, if you have the money, you can look at the higher leagues. If you don't, JPL is a great place to start, but try to focus on just one league. It's a lot easier, I would think. That's what made it easier for us, because when we started, there was just JPL. And it seemed overwhelming just then.
Yeah, I think my advice would be really specific to the situation. I mean, if you're coming in with tons of cash, then yeah, buy the stars, buy five stars and go compete in Champions Europe. If you're more frugal, some ideas might be start buying some MLS players. That league starts in March. Those players are dirt cheap. Same with K-League, J-League now too. You can find a lot of value there. In fact, I mean, when it comes to buying, and if you are a frugal buyer, I mean, it's buying those out of form players that people don't really want right now that you think might be able to become valuable later. So those tier two, tier threes that people are just dumping on the market, some of those might have value here in a couple months.
Yeah, it's circumstantial, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, there's 25, 26 tournaments on a weekly basis. You can't have 25 teams of stars. You might as well have your all-star team chugging along in Division 4, just churning you out your 0.02 each week. And as you said, Jim, you know, we've got the opportunity now to win 0.04 for three consecutive game weeks. I put a little side competition on Twitter this week to put your worst team out, and people are posting up their worst teams. They've got 250 points this week already. You know, that would smash the 0.04. You know, 3 weeks of that, a couple of 0.02, and you know, I know we joke about goalkeepers being expensive, but there's no reason why everybody shouldn't be able to pay for a goalkeeper over the next 3 weeks if they, you know, put out some reasonable teams. And you know, even as you said, like tier two, tier three players, you can afford to have two DNPs in the next couple of weeks and three average scores. And, you know, what captain the right person, you've hit your threshold with two DNPs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think even today, the opportunity to be able to pay off those assets in such a short amount of time is pretty crazy, because these aren't assets that you get for 3 months, right? And you pay them off in one. They're assets that you get for the lifetime of their football career, and you pay them off in potentially a month or 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I think we've all seen people are being able to return the value of, you know, a full collection of cards, a full entry with one win sometimes. So it's, yeah, the rewards really are quite appealing at the moment. And as you touched on there, the 3 weeks with the enhanced weekly payouts is going to be a great opportunity, especially for some of the smaller managers to build a position, start building those wins, and then getting that reinvested back into other players that are going to allow them to do that longer term and repay them quite quickly. So yeah, really, really exciting times.
Now, one of the questions I wanted to ask both of you, because again, whenever there's brainstorming ideas, AMA, stuff like that, because of your respective backgrounds in various different fantasy channels and different sports as well, you quite often bring, you know, some different ideas that maybe people like myself that are so fixated on football as just one sport perhaps don't see ways to improve. You've all injected your ideas in the past. Where do you think if you were taking the reins for a few months and you know,
so you're gonna put Black and Jimmer in charge for
yeah
a few
put
months.
Black and Jimmer in charge. I mean that's why I've built up an ETH balance, so your ideas get implemented and then we can all go and have some fun.
I mean, I think everyone should get a Vanaken and a Sazinha. I think everyone should get one. My idea, if you put me in charge.
Vanaken for all, okay, right. Well, that I better go and start selling my Vanakens now then, because they'll have zero value with you guys in charge, yeah?
No, seriously,
renaming Ken Griffey Jr. or something, yeah?
That's right. No, I think tier two and tier three utility need to be looked at pretty hard. I think that those players are really kind of just getting, I don't want to say that they're, that the current system is hurting them, but I think that there's not a lot of value in those players right now. And I think you could make the game cheaper for people if there was some point to owning a tier three rare. And I think right now it's hard to have much value in a player that subs on for 10, 15 minutes at the end of the game and, you know, doesn't do a whole lot. That might be a tournament where you can only play a tier two or tier three rare. I don't know. We've kind of
tossed
that idea around.
The utility of those is crippled when you have more of them. When you have the tier ones and the stars and the tier threes and the tier fours on the side, that's when they're crippled. But I think there is a lot of value to them for those people looking for value. And I think that it can potentially come if Sarir continues to succeed in the way that they are. There's no reason that the pay structure similar to All-Star D4 could reciprocate into other leagues, right? And then that's where you can potentially, there's a lot of people on the platform that simply play for that 0.02 or that 0.01 on a weekly basis. And that's a huge win. I think a lot of it is expectations. With all of that said, I would also like to see it, because I'm one of those people who have an endless rare collection that never sell. So
where I'm kind of add on that though, Jimmer, is I think that if they did have like a tier two, tier three tournament, I think that you should have to make the choice whether you play in like the open all-star where you can play your stars, or you can play in the tier two. That way you kind of separate, I don't know, the whales, if you want to call them the whales, from the minnows.
Yeah, I think I posted an idea in the ideas channel, but it was around that two flavor of, you know, you have your classic, what we know today, and then they have the framework with the draft right now to do like a budgeted daily fantasy system where those tier three and tier four players are necessary to meet your budget on a lineup that you're entering, right? So I think they can live together, but in the maturity of the platform that it is today, it's probably important to keep it simple. So yeah. I don't know if it's a huge issue, and a lot of me thinks it's more selfish on my part based on my collection. But we've already heard from HG on the last podcast. He's going to be experimenting with some tournaments on SoRare Data, and he included tier two, tier three, those kind of tournaments.
So 11.
Yeah. So.
And I think that helps tier two, tier three players, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think the challenge is that we refer to these cards as tier two, tier three, and I don't know whether the relationship with SoRare and the teams, or the SoRare and the clubs, and the players, you know. For me, I put forward an idea a number of months ago, which was an index. nothing diff football index, Serrer index, where basically, you know, similar to as HD is built on Serrer data, you know, there must be almost 3,000 players now that are licensed within the game itself. Have just a straightforward 1 to 3,000, whatever that happens to be. Obviously, it doesn't look good if you're a player ranked 2998.
What are we ranking their value or their performance?
Again, this is up for debate. It could be a combination of performance, value, whatever metrics, you know, magic sauce we put together to create that index. And
mustaches.
Then you turn around. Yeah. And you say, okay, yeah, mustaches. Yeah. Wesley Mustache. We'll get him in there. Then you basically say, right, this week it's a tournament for anyone in the top 100, or it's the bottom, you know, 10%, bottom 20%, or whatever it is. Obviously, the index will move. People might turn around and say, oh, well, I used to have a, you know, a 2000 plus team, and now my guy's gone into, you know, 1800. Well, hopefully you'd be happy if you've got a guy that's risen a couple of hundred places in the ranking. You know, you might not begrudge going out to again get a lower ranked player to complete your team to compete in that particular tournament. But, you know, my idea, and it probably can be shot to pieces by someone far more intelligent than me, would be to have the one huge index. And then whenever you're buying a player as well, if it is a star player, you're going to know that Ronaldo and Mbappe are going to be somewhere in the top five, top 10 of players, unless they get a crippling injury, and then they might temporarily duck down to 50th, 100th until they're back in and playing again. But at least that way we could start to bracket the players in, you know, these clearly are stars, these clearly are mid-tier players, and these clearly are lower tier players, and then the tournaments could revolve around where, you know, different parts of the index.
I think that would be pretty interesting. You could take the last five score, average it out, and kind of start with that. I mean, you'll have scenarios where guys like Ronaldo rest a few days and then they can sneak into certain tournaments. But I think that still adds a bit of strategy. It would be interesting.
Interesting points there. I think for me, you'd have to ensure that these cards don't lose their utility. So Mark, you talked there, if a card moves from rank 2000 to 1800, they don't then lose utility for that player. There's still a competition that player is able to enter them in. This is maybe some kind of weekly challenge, or, you know, there's another facility within the platform for people to compete within this criteria. But I think it would be good to have that view, that sort of 1 to 3,000 or however many players are on the platform. Probably from a contractual perspective, it's something that can't exist on the platform and maybe has to sit outside on Serrer Data or other third-party apps, because I think you're onboarding a new club. They have star players. How do you allocate those players into those pots on the official site to say, yeah, these two guys we class as star players, these 11 are, yeah, junk.
Well, there must be something to, you know, FIFA have done it for years, haven't they? You get ranked 88 and you get ranked 64, and you see the teammates having banter between each other whenever they unveil the cards and the rankings for each year. I think that's the only thing which might make it more challenging officially. Is, you know, even Ronaldo, you know, doesn't want to have his photo, you know, we can't have a photo of Ronaldo by himself. It's got to be with, you know, four other people to be able to sell him as an individual card.
And I think you can overcome that in lots of different ways, can't you? There's going to be ways around that, whether it's, we may not have that 1 to 3,000 ranking, but we may be able to have some kind of metric like the FIFA ranking that scores these players out of 100, and then we can sort of classify them ourselves within brackets. Maybe an 85 plus type player is the elites, and, you know, without, so you soften it, you don't have the terms on the site, so elites, tier zeros or tier fours, so you don't have that distinction for the clubs, but you still have that distinction within the cards somehow. One for the team to think about.
And I guess from our point of view as well, because we know these terms and we've played the game for a long time now, you know, we can suggest ideas that maybe seem right for us. But I think the North Star is always going to be the onboarding and, you know, reaching out to more and more people. So whilst we might be thinking that these changes will work internally, they've still got to be, you know, accessible and presentable in a way that new people, as you said, Jimmy, you've tried to assist people with draft, and, you know, that probably still needs a bit of work in terms of making it as friendly and getting the conversion rate as high as possible as well. So we can always add complexity, but it's core, it's still going to remain a simple pick up and play.
I will say that the draft to me is always going to be a weird thing. If that's not really a gameplay mechanic that players will see. The first thing that they see is this draft where there's salary caps and budgets and stuff. And that's not really, doesn't really have anything to do with the game. So kind of a weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we used to get our commons when it was like, you've got presented with three cards and you just picked one of the three and then you're onto the next one. I still personally think that's a lot easier. Okay. You won't get to pick and choose, you know, maybe the players that, anyway, it's matching the people that are joining at a time where a new team is onboarded. And if you signed up recently for Fenerbahce, or you signed up recently for Real Madrid, and you come on and you get presented with three Jupiler League goalkeepers to choose from, that might defeat the purpose. But I'm sure there's a way that they can at least influence those first choices in sync with whatever team happens to be announced on a given week.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges, and my advice of sticking to a league, is just like knowing, like, nothing would be more frustrating than trying to get off the ground running and drafting, you know, a Russian goalkeeper, right? And then, oh, well, what do I do for the next couple months? Because I don't have a starting goalkeeper. So I like that idea of like, you come into the platform and you're basically given players that are guaranteed to at least have games, not necessarily start, but have games over the next 8 weeks, right? That you can play in that league. And then back on the tier four and tier three rares or those kind of cards, I would encourage you guys to try to get somebody very new on the podcast and try to get some of their opinions, because I would imagine that they would have a different opinion on those. And I think one of the biggest challenges of that, and why, you know, more experienced managers think that we need to address that space, is just because it's not exciting to win. And when people get those cards that they don't necessarily want or will slide into a lineup, they can sell them on the market and decrease those values pretty rapidly. But if I'm a new player and I get that, like, I'm stoked, because now I can finally start building that Japan team or whatever else. And it's probably a different persona.
I think I'm in that space, Jimmer. So obviously I do have quite a large collection, but the majority of my MLS and my Asian lineups have been put together through rewards. And over time, I'm piecing together slightly stronger players in that space. Bought a handful. I've not spent a lot of money in that space. So I've been able to organically grow my lineups there. They're not returning me much. So I probably do need to just make a few choice purchases. Also in the European Challenger and Champion space, if I win some of these tier three and tier fours, I'm not necessarily unhappy with that. There's some that I'm able to shift on quite quickly and get a small amount of ETH back. I actually won a player this week, somebody I wasn't going to use, an older striker, 50 to 59 scores as his last five. A pretty solid attacker. Would do somebody, do a new user quite well. So managed to
pump him up. Who is it?
Well, he's gone. He went to somebody in one of the groups who needed a player to fill a lineup there. So I managed to just move him on for the minimum amount. A new manager managed to get a card that's going to enhance their lineup.
Yeah.
And I was able to move somebody on.
Don't get me wrong. Definitely excited to get those. I'm in the same boat. I didn't actually start buying very many MLS. I'm starting to try to organically grow those. Same with the Asian leagues. I'm just not extremely interested in them, but I'm still excited to get those players to build teams out. I really just made the comment from talking to more experienced people and, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, touching base saying, hey, did you get anything good? And it's more trash or no, nothing good versus, you know, talking about, you know, I just won this awesome Argent Swinkles.
Do you think an element of that is once you've started to win some good rewards, then the next week you don't win such a, so this week I've done, you know, terribly.
Absolutely.
But I've had some nice weeks and it's like quite disappointing, yeah, isn't it?
Coming out of replays, I had probably an 8 week drought where I didn't win a single card, and coming back and winning that card like after 8 weeks, like it was a tier three rare or something, it was the best feeling.
Are you still captaining Felipe Anderson?
I feel as though I might have been asleep at the wheel for the last couple of weeks. Both Jimmer and Harvey are talking about tier four. Did I miss something?
Well, you have to look at Jimmer's collection to find the tier fours.
Yeah. He's the guinea pig.
They're self-labeled tier fours. They treat me that way.
3A and 3B, what about that?
There you go.
Yeah, so lots of interesting points there. I think that maybe takes us on to talking about the big news this week, and that was Gerard Piqué joining the platform. So the official announcement came out that the Barcelona player joining the platform as a strategic advisor. So maybe this is something that Piqué can take forward and help us look at. So yeah, massive, massive news. We've got a $4.3 million investment into the platform as part of a US-based fund, the Casillas family. So that enhanced the current seed funding round, which pulled in about 8.6 million to the platform. So I think we've got some exciting months and a year ahead. So hopefully help with new hires onto the team, help with new club acquisitions and lots of the development that goes on there. So yeah, really interesting news. What do you guys think?
I thought it was awesome. I didn't understand the impact as much as others. And I think it was a huge like marketing thing as well. But anytime, you know, the company can grow and get seed funding, an amazing opportunity for them to keep doing what they're doing and doing amazing.
Yeah, you talk about the marketing there. So PK alone has, you know, a huge social media following. So I think that helps the platform in a small way. But it seems like he's coming into this to really help grow the platform as part of some of the other activity he goes on. So, but before we discuss it anymore, let's just have a look at some of his quick stats and facts. So I think number one on my list, he managed to marry Shakira. That's got to be the top achievement.
Can I say his best achievement? I would say that eclipses that is that he got the hell out of Man United at a very young age, very quickly. So he obviously knew that to become successful, he had to get out and find a club where he could flourish and build a name for himself.
I think that is interesting. He was there for a short period, 4 years as a youngster, wasn't he? But yeah, moved back to Barcelona and has won everything imaginable since, hasn't he? So 8 La Liga titles, 3 Champions Leagues. He's won the World Cup, the Euro 2012 with Spain. He's won everything imaginable for a footballer and has had probably one of the greatest careers. Maybe that does coincide with leaving Manchester.
One of the most disappointing things about him joining was the fact that Mexico couldn't achieve World Cup victory and get the shout out. So we were looking on Cameo to see if Shakira was on there, try to get the shout out from her. She wasn't, so pretty disappointing.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
I think one thing you just touched on at the beginning, Hybe, when you introduced this segment was that, you know, for me, what I saw in the marketing side of things is that you've got certain games that announce, you know, partnerships with players and so forth. And quite a lot of these are either paid tweets, or you can see that the money actually changes hands from the company to the person that they want to go and give the endorsements. Whereas this is the opposite. You know, what can't be overlooked here, in my opinion, is the fact that PK himself is, okay, it's not a disclosed figure, but it's under 50% of the 4.3 million. But he is putting money into Sarare in terms of helping it grow and contribute to its future success. So it's not that Sarare decided to take some of the original seed capital and go, cool, should we get PK to give a plug for us, and, you know, maybe that'll help us bring in a few more users here. It's there's a lot more behind it than that.
Is he going to win his one out of one unique card?
It depends when Barcelona gets added to the platform, I guess. Maybe you're going for placing Iniesta in Vissel Kobe, and we can get a J League version of him.
So he would be a manager backed by a giant fund, right?
Maybe. So could Messi. Messi could come on, and there could be the Barcelona fund competing with Blackpool there. You never know.
Blackpool,
yeah.
I thought that was closed. Have you not raised enough for your backyard pool yet?
I have not, no. I'm working on it.
What we just, though, this is a massive announcement from Sarare getting Piqué on board, and it's another World Cup winner that has joined the team. So we've got Andre Shirley as an investor as well, joined much earlier, but it's just great signs for the platform. I think we're going to have a fun year ahead. So yeah, let's have a little bit of a look into some of Piqué's stats. So representing Spain since he was an under 16-year-old, all the way through to the full national team. So obviously touched on winning the European Championship, winning the World Cup. There's 102 full team caps and 5 goals he managed to pick up.
If I promise to put the full club history of Liverpool on when they eventually join the platform, will you read that out from top to tail as well? I mean, we'd have to devote, it'd have to be a, you know, 2-hour special or something, but you know, waxing lyrical about Gerard Piqué here, just quite interesting to see when Liverpool come on board, if you're, you know, interested in just reeling off all of the trophies and, you know, major landmarks that they've achieved through their history.
We could maybe have a focus on the legendary Scottish players that have played there over the years. There's certainly many, a lot that I'm a big fan of. So yeah, we can focus on it from that perspective.
Well, let's see what happens. They might turn out to be a damp squib like Atalanta, who we're still waiting for since March. We'll see whether or not the rumours are going to unfold anytime soon. Right, shall we move on to the upcoming game week? Game week 1-8 over Boxing Day. And being Jupiler with two specialists, experienced specialists of the Jupiler League, where would you recommend we start, guys?
Fire up your Vanakins, man. Fire them up.
Fire him up, Captain.
Doesn't he get
that
Christmas
boy.
Day off?
No.
Okay.
It was.
Don't let him rest. Never
it was
rest.
It was actually his birthday.
Is
the
this
Lord.
A serious? Is this a serious fact?
He's known as the Lord. In our following.
That's true.
Lord Vanakin.
Lord Vanakin.
I just looked it up. It's not his birthday.
Well, it's Christmas.
No, I get it.
Who have they got? Haven't they got to wait for the announcement of a COVID test from Urpin?
Yeah, they're playing against the Prince.
Yeah, the Prince.
See, Prince Ortwin.
We're so DeWolf. Far behind in terms of the nicknames that you've got for these people.
Prince Ortwin.
I have no idea.
He has no Ortwin, right?
He's not playing these days anyway, is he?
I think he's going to be back based on nothing.
Yeah.
So basically, we've got DeWolf in goal, Vanakin in midfield in a game that still might be postponed due to COVID. Who are the other three we need to be picking?
Felipe Anderson.
Okay, so now we're down to there's a three DMPs. Now we just need to get us over the threshold for the 0.04.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't really looked at this game week. I mean, I'm gonna fire up all my normal Jupiler guys. That Xavier. I'm butchering his name. Xavier Mercier. Yeah. However you say that. That guy's
stick
great.
To your first go. That was good.
Like, that's not even a hard one. Come on. I want give us Yari's surname. Come on.
Versacheron.
Right. This is amazing. So James, you were not far off the first time, and then you got influenced by Black's.
I always go for it again. I'm
go for it again, Black.
Versacheron.
Okay. Jimmer.
I don't even know how to spell it. Versharon.
There we go. That's how it
really?
Oh, yeah. One shiny gold Christmas star for me.
You have indeed.
We've spent hours, and I'm not joking, hours pronouncing players' names.
Based on what you've just said there, I can well believe that.
I'm trying to
repeat what you're saying, Versharon, I can't get it out. No.
That's why I just call him Yari.
Fair enough. There you go.
Isn't he injured anyway?
He is.
Yes.
He is.
He did something to his
ankle. So far, for those that are listening, our tips for game week 1-8. We've got an injured guy, Lord Vanakin, on his birthday. Wolf, who probably won't play. A guy that doesn't even play in the Jupiler League. Are we going to come up with any players that could be of use to those listening that might be wanting some?
MLS is playing right now, right?
Percy Tau. I think it's Tau. Percy Tau's chance to come back into the side. Been out for a little while.
Surely Genk at home to Vaslan Beveren has got Bongonda, Ito, Lusumi all over it.
Yeah.
Lusumi will be featuring for me.
I'm with Andy here, though. I am wait till the last night before the lineups to try to get as much information as I can on projections. So I haven't even looked at it.
And if you do happen to own a Haji card for Rangers, they've got an easy home victory against Hibernian this week. So
it's Haggy. First of all, it's Haggy. and then second of all, I actually have a good story on him. When I joined So Rare, that he was one of my first five cards that I was gifted. Basically, for joining. And I had no idea who he was. I was asking Mark over here, you know, like, hey, who's this guy? Is he good? He good? And you're like, yeah, he's the son of a legend. I'm like, oh, okay.
You could have played with him, Mark, there. You could have told him a whole big story about what Georgie had done. Maybe not football related, but just, yeah, could have made up a wee bit of a story.
It's a bit of a hit and miss card.
He is, but the last few games, so I have actually been tempted to play him this game week against Hibs. We're third. They're top of the league. Rangers have won their last five. So, yeah, I hate seeing Rangers top of the league. It's not a nice feeling.
You're punching above your weight anyway, so being third, you've got to be quite happy.
Yeah.
No?
It's a good season so far for us. Yeah, we're performing well. We're definitely a top five team. Third to fifth is our place in the world, I think. But yeah, it should be a good game.
So we've got one Portuguese game by the looks of it involving Sporting CP. And I think that pretty much is it. So it will be a bit of a Jupiler shootout with maybe a special guest or two from players that might have transferred onto different teams.
I do think weeks like this, they should consider opening All-Star instead of the domestics. I know it's against their rules or whatever, but I think that there's going to be a lot of players that either you can't play or just are going to have less utility, especially this previous week, the Champions one, where you had guys that might have bought the Turkish players, and if, you know, they may not have been able to use them this week.
That's what the weekly's for.
True, yeah.
No restrictions there. So I've personally got a very Premier League heavy lineup in there. We've got a couple of West Ham players.
They got a good matchup.
Yeah. So I think we'll see lots of cards that have maybe previously not had as much utility get a run out this week. I've got lots of options, maybe 30 players that play in the Premier League. So some are not even going to get a game and get into this lineup. I wish there was a few weeklies that I could actually enter some of them, yep, them into, or an SO11 that I could enter these guys in. But yeah, I'm sure we'll see some random results this week with different cards, and looking forward to a Trossard as well, maybe getting into the lineup. We'll see.
Trossard sounds like an aftershave that you buy your loved one for this time of year. Trossard.
Where have you been shopping? Is it Liverpool markets?
Let me just double check my browser history. No, you don't want to know.
No, we definitely don't.
So one player that is going to have a day, it's going to be Francis Amuzu from Anderlecht. There you go.
Is that how you pronounce their team name? Anderlecht?
That's how I just did. Yes.
Yeah, I just won him the other week there. And when I won him,
Fire him up.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Playing against the beer shooters.
He's actually in. Yeah, I've got him in a Division 3, but I've got Lokonga as well. So he's the preference. He's going in the
Lokonga is also a prince.
He is.
He's like the second prince, Ryota. I don't know how to pronounce his name, on Charletti.
I was going to say, we've got Antwerp v. Charleroi. You've got Mbakani versus Penito. They're back in your era, aren't they?
I never had. I actually sold my Mbakani. He was getting a little old.
What is he, like 36 now? Penitol is 40.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But again, don't you find it fascinating that, you know, we've seen the price history of these cards now for 18 months. And, you know, okay, Mbakani's been pretty rock solid. He's obviously had a couple of patches and off seasons where you could have picked these cards could have been picked up for 0.02, 0.03, 0.05, even a Penito. You know, you would have never had to pay more than 0.1 for him back in the day. I find it fascinating now, the mentality of certain managers that buy cards and just try to flip them instantly, or, you know, even players that they've bought. You know, I've seen instances where cards are being bought and then sold a day later for less than what they've paid because of there's a fear, you know, maybe I won't extract the value out of this card in the future or what have you. And as you've said, both of you, you know, these cards, they'll have their day. If you've got room for them in your collection and you've got room to create a team with them, at some point they will hit. We saw it in the replay weeks and we see it with cards now. I've had one most recently, Quebec. He's been the laughing stock of defenders playing on a Schalke team that can't win a game to save their life. He spat at a guy, got a 5-match ban. You know, so anyone that's sitting there through August and September has been holding, arguably, you know, decent prospects, but getting no utility out of him. Everyone's panic selling him, throwing him on the market. Oh, he can't be worth anything. Okay, he's had a couple of scores in the 50s now. He's got rumours of being going to Liverpool or Man United. You know, at some point, this car, which everyone was trying to get rid of for under 0.1, at some point, you'd like to think is going to be, oh, it could be a short print come January if he gets a transfer. If he starts to get game time at whatever new club he goes to, you've got to think a 20-year-old in a potentially Premier League team or a Serie A team has got to be a 0.2 ETH card. You know, that's not
absolutely
not to be squashed. It's like that's 100% of your money. You don't have to keep buying cards to use them to get the money to extract the value from them. You touched not at the top of the show. Injured, unloved, out of form, out of favor. You can make a fortune off the back of these.
Yeah, I just picked up a Thomas the Tank Engine for what seemed to be a decent price.
All right, who's Thomas the Tank Engine?
The old Lazio goalkeeper.
Oh, Strakosha.
Yeah, I can see the connection between Tank Engine and Strakosha. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Thomas the Tank Engine. I was
Yeah, come on.
Well, we'll perhaps leave Jimmer in charge of the weekly challenge eligibility.
Yeah,
should we have players with no nicknames.
Yeah, we have our dreams of the weeklies where, you know, mustache is only like hair length has to be plus 6 inches.
Bald. They have to be bald.
Yeah. It might
at least 3 inches between the eyes.
Yeah. we need some image recognition on the cards, but I think it's possible.
It well could be. So obviously we touched upon the 3 weeks that we're going to have the enhanced payout. So that was part of the festive football specials that were announced the other day there. So for game week 1-8, 1-9, and 1-30, there'll be lower thresholds and there'll be increased Ethereum rewards. So it's going to be as accessible as possible for as many managers. So it should be very competitive. But with those lower thresholds, it should be really easy to attain those payouts. So yeah, that was really exciting. There was a couple of other announcements in that as well. So we had the Player of the Year. So it was a selection of 25 Surrey Player of the Year based on their performances, their cult status and popularity within the community. So a few of the old guys that no one else seems to be that fussed about, Mark, that you like. They might be in there. You never know.
Don't
know.
Well, Taiwo won't. He can't produce Taiwo right now.
Don't know what their algorithm is there, but yeah, there'll be some limited edition cards produced over the festive period. So looking forward to seeing what those are. Obviously, I think everyone's starting to get involved in more bundles. So I've personally never bought a bundle before, but I think that will change over this week. So we've got loads available. So hopefully I'm going to be able to enhance some of my MLS and Asian lineups with those there. And I've been looking at a few, having a bid on a few as well over the last day or so. Yeah, we'll hopefully add to those teams. And the teaser of Liverpool again, what do we think is coming next? A league structure, a club? Who would you like to see?
I have a prediction. I think within the next month, we're going to see all of Liga MX. I think before the MLS starts, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to add Liga MX. They can sell a lot of cards. They can open a league. I see it coming. Liga MX is coming.
So when does their season start? Would that fit in nicely?
January.
Okay, perfect. So it would give more utility in the game and, yeah, more options there. So
we did have something in the AMA, didn't we, before, where there was a Liga MX and MLS, almost like a... I remember the logo. It was one of the blog posts, I think, on Medium. Must have been a question that was posed to Nicholas, and he answered and hinted that Liga MX is definitely one of the... Is it one of the top 10 leagues in the world? Or is it between 10 and 20th? It's definitely in the top 20, we know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's one that I think can be added to the platform. Okay, Jim,
that's my bold prediction of the week.
We better start thinking about when to offload our Ochoas then before the new fresh shiny ones come out.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see next, Jim?
Liverpool. Okay. I don't think it will be though, because I don't know.
Is it a double triple?
I don't think that they would tease clues about it acting like Liverpool and then release Liverpool. But
I'm half expecting tomorrow to wake up Klopp, Santa hat. Surrey video, yeah. It's all going to kick off.
They're
just going to make Mark's Christmas. Yeah, Klopp in a Santa hat, advertising Surrey cards.
Does make sense. Like it might happen.
He's burning that turkey.
Well, I mean, they've obviously waited until Liverpool top of the league. So, I mean, if they had released them when that leak was there, then would have been a bit of a shame to, let's welcome to the platform the team that's second on goal difference. Now, at least now we're, you know, considerably can lose a game and still be top of the league. So, yeah, the timing does make sense. I don't know. They were quite, I thought the Real Madrid launch was quite subdued. It didn't have that same razzmatazz to it that the PSG and the Bayern one had. So, I don't know.
There wasn't.
I think the Real Madrid one has to be down to the fact that the licensing issue, so the fact that cars had to be sold as bundles. I think if you make too much of a commotion about this new edition, but it is largely inaccessible to your smaller user base, those with smaller funds, that's not necessarily the greatest marketing ploy. But yeah,
and the Real Madrid cards, you say that, but the Real Madrid bundles were considerably cheaper than the Bayern Munich individual cards. Right. Well, look, I think the week that we've had a lot of fun with Real Madrid, we've had a lot of fun with PK, and we've had some announcements from the management with regards to multiple users or multi-accounts and accounts owned by different entities. I've received a couple of personal DMs asking what my thoughts are on it, but rather than bore everybody with my own thoughts, how about your thoughts? Let me throw it out to the three of you.
Yeah, so I think my personal opinion, more money in the space is a good thing. I understand the concerns that people have with, you know, two or three people coming in funded by these sources. But I mean, anybody can take a loan out from a bank, play on leverage, and get wrecked. So by all means, good luck.
I think that is very similar to the answer that I've given to some people who have reached out to me in direct messages. So I personally see it as a positive. I do recognise people have got some concerns, but the response from the team, pretty comfortable that they are doing everything they need to be doing in the background to ensure that a level of fairness is applied. So these teams aren't transferring players between each other, optimising lineups between each other on a weekly basis. As you touched on there, how accounts are funded, that, yeah, these guys have been very open about this, but I'd like to imagine that going forward there'll be lots of investment funds that will look to get involved on Surrey. Some of them might not be so open. You could take a far more personal example. Me and a group of friends, there's maybe three or four of us playing Surrey. We could have one really wealthy friend who wants to give us all $250,000 each to play on his behalf because he's not really that strong on football, but knows that we are passionate about this platform. We take that money, we build up teams, we've got the buying capacity to buy up anyone we want, but it's all some of that profit's getting kicked back to our friend offline. It's not a fund, but it's very similar, isn't it? Don't think there would be many issues around that. I don't think there would even be a need to disclose where those funds came from. So yeah, for me, it's a non-issue, and it's something that seems to get blown up in the social media channels at times. And people jump the gun, jump to conclusions without actually understanding everything that's going on. And looking at it objectively, the guys have been extremely transparent. They're good guys. We're hoping to have a dot on the pod in a couple of weeks' time. And we'll talk about it in a bit more detail there. I've got nothing to really hide, and I think we're comfortable with, well, I'm certainly comfortable with the Surrey team's approach to this and how they will do their due diligence around it. So for me, a positive having this money coming into the platform, new eyes, they bring significant new attention to the platform and increased funding. Personally, I'm not having to compete against these guys. Yeah, they'll have one entry in Division 4 and Division 3 against me. I've got the capacity to buy anyone in the market. And as we've talked about before, you don't need to buy the elite players to be able to compete. You can put together quite competitive teams quite cheaply. So really, I don't see the issue at all. Blackpool could have 10 funded managers, and for the vast majority of platform users, it's not going to have a real impact on them. It might heat up Division 1 and the unique buying market, but if we're realistic, most of us are not spending thousands of pounds on these cards anyway. So for me, there's not a massive issue there. And fundamentally, these guys are still playing for themselves. So although there may be an element of funding coming from a fund, they are still looking to profit for themselves. It's not that they're giving everything up and they're all playing for this one team now and all their profits are going in there. There will be some contractual kickback, I'd imagine. But I'm also pretty sure that the guys will be very much in a buying phase as this platform also grows. Still got hundreds of clubs still to come on. I think these investment funds are going to be buying up lots of players on the platform, giving the team lots of money to invest back into the platform and help it develop for ourselves. And for me, it's a positive.
The only possible issue I might have there is if there's collusion between the users and they're agreeing not to play in tournaments against each other. You know, like, hey, I won't put Bruno in the unique division if you don't put if you put Mbappe in the champions. So they agree to not play them in the same tournaments.
And that's fair, but I could do that with Mark, and I could do that with you guys. Yeah. So we could have our own little Discord group, and the five of us or 10 of us, however many, could all do that, and we could piece together the best possible chances.
I don't know. I kind of disagree there. I think the platform itself is awesome for allowing those type of things. I think all of this space and all of these games give you a good visualization into what the startup industry is actually like. And as the game matures, I think that's going to be less, you know, probable, right? One of the problems that I've talked about, problems in quotes, is, you know, there's just not a ton of competition at D1, but that's going to grow. You know, when there's 10 managers in there, obviously people highlight it, but the amount of money that these people have spent to get to the point to where they're at has lifted the platform up to where it is.
Yeah.
So, and then
where I see with the Blackpool guys, I mean, you've got to embrace the changes as they occur, and you've got to adapt. And I've talked about it previously that even when a big club comes on board or another league comes on board, that still has the potential to put someone's nose out of joint who goes, well, I'm sitting there with my comfortable Jupiler League collection, and oh, all of a sudden Real Madrid comes along, and oh, now I've got to buy Real Madrid cards, or I've got to keep up with these guys. You know, you've got to adapt. And, you know, if we look at the space, I mean, I'm not crazy into loads of different crypto stuff, but you know, crypto in general seems to have had a pretty positive 2020 after a disappointing 2019. There's a lot of positive traction in different markets, whether it be virtual land, whether it be digital arts, and now sports NFTs finally are coming to, you know, getting some good PR, you know, with us, with, you know, what's happening maybe with NBA Top Shot and some other things that might be around the corner in 2021. So, you know, there's lots of change occurring, and if someone's going to come in and buy a Bruno Fernandes card for 99 ETH, this is a manager who has, from the outside and speaking to a jot on quite a regular basis, he doesn't look as though he's short of cash himself, yet he's still now, you know, gone out and had, you know, a card of his dreams funded by Blackpool. I mean, that's, you know, that's going to elevate other cards that lots of other owners already have in their collections to another level. I mean, we already saw when Bruno Fernandes' super rare card went for 25 ETH. And, you know, now it looks like anyone that's got one of these rare cards could probably command 6, 7, 8, 10 ETH for that as well. So it's going to drag up the market. Yes, okay, that's going to make it challenging for people that want to get into the market. But for anyone like us that has got, you know, a collection of sorts already, you know, we're all going to have dogs in our portfolio that they're going to be worth, you know, discard price or less than that. But I'd like to think, you know, if you're playing the game pretty competitively and you're competing each week across a few different tournaments, you're going to have cards hopefully that will benefit. As we all know, the fundamental is scarcity to this game. You've all got super rare cards, so you know that there's going to be a limit of maximum 10 per season for any of these. And if there's more and more money coming in from the sidelines to compete for these type of cards and you're owning them, then the chances are you've probably got a more opportunities to exit, or hopefully there'll be, you know, bigger prizes and more opportunities to win with what you own.
Yeah, I think the bottom line really is that the SoRare platform and the team haven't produced any reason to doubt or distrust them. On the terms of multi-accounting, like, it's really awesome that they came out and said, you know, we're doing things behind the scenes. Obviously, they don't want to say how or why, but I mean, I think that's a serious issue too, that when there's serious money involved, you know, you're jeopardizing other people's enjoyment of the game, potentially, so on and so forth. But bottom line, you know, as other products and startups in this space have shown distrust, I don't think it's there yet by any means here to even start speculating or conspiracy theories or anything like that, from my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy with the response that I see from the team on numerous, you know, issues. So we've had it over the last 6 months that I've been on, various developments, various things that have had to be addressed. As this platform grows, that's going to be the case. And so far, so good. Everything that they've done has been on point, and I can only see that continuing. They take on board feedback. We've got good feedback channels, so it's important to use them, but use them in a constructive way. Let's not jump the gun on things. Let's ask questions. But yeah, let's do that for the betterment of this platform. Touched upon it there, James. Yeah, some other platforms do get a bit of stick and do seem to get themselves in bother with some of the actions taken. So far, so good here. So as users, we can help influence that by the approach that we take with our feedback and the approach that we take with engaging with other managers, different ideas.
I think it all just comes down to overpromising, doesn't it? We've all been in environments whereby, you know, you want something to happen so badly, you've been told it's going to happen, it's coming, and then it doesn't. So you've already got heightened expectations, which then leads to that disappointment. I think where SoRare have got spot on to date is that they don't come out with, you know, things that, you know, then become ingrained in our minds, and then we're like, right, where is it? And then it's pitchforks out, where you told us this was going to happen, where is it? And then it doesn't materialize. And I think, you know, that's standard business practice, but, you know, not so many people put the cart before the horse, and, you know, they're raising capital to then use that capital to go away and build a game and then come back to you in 6 months, 12 months time. Whereas, you know, say, whether it be through PK, whether it be through the first seed capital round, you know, these guys have got money behind them. You know, they're telling us, you know, as and when new staff members come on board and what their roles are and how they're going to, you know, improve everything. So yeah, long may it continue. So which Christmas carol are we going to sing to finish off the show? What's people's preference?
Black and I actually prepared a duet for the Christmas special.
Perfect.
Maybe it's cold outside. I'm going to sing the female part.
I feel like everybody's waiting for us to start singing. It's not happening.
We got enough tape for this, Hybe. This one's going to happen, surely.
We are waiting for it. I am eagerly waiting.
I really can't stay.
Pressure's on, Black.
Oh, it ain't happening. It's not happening.
Well, I think Hybe did say that despite your commendable attempts in the World Cup and my constant backing to see you guys prevail, we will try and get a soundbite of the Mexican national anthem into this at some point. Is that fair?
We will.
That'd be wonderful.
We'll do it when one of us wins the So Rare Cup, So Rare Data Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to be challenging there. Before we do move on, I wanted to touch on my first experience or my first memory of Gerard Piqué. So talked about all his amazing achievements at the top of the show, the World Cup, the European Championships and all his Barcelona achievements. But my first memory was actually him as part of a Spain under-19 European Championship team back in 2006. So it was a game I was hugely excited about because Scotland were playing against Spain in the final of the under-19 European Championship. And one of my mates from school, Callum, he was going to be leading the line against Spain in this European Championship final. So yeah, there was also a young Hibs keeper, Andrew McNeil or Andy McNeil. Yeah, he was behind the stick. So Scotland had a really good campaign. We had beaten the Czech Republic in the semi-finals. Callum got the winner there. And Stephen Fletcher, who was at Hibs at the time, who had came from the Liverpool youth team, went on to play for a few teams in the Premier League. And Robert Snodgrass, who you probably know in the Premier League, they were both suspended for the final. But we still had a chance. There was still a good chance that we were going to rumble this big Spain side. So, yeah, we didn't. We definitely didn't. Outplayed from the start. And it looked like we were going to get destroyed. Went 2-0 down quite early on. But ended up 2-1. But looking back 14 years later, team with Antonio Adan, Juan Mata, Gerard Piqué and Javi Garcia is kind of no surprise that we missed out there. But yeah, I just wanted to drop that in there. That was my first. So 14 years ago, looking back, Piqué, he was a monster in that game. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. And yeah, he's a big player. But it was obvious when he moved to Manchester United. For me, they had this huge star. And the fact that they allowed him to leave the club so cheaply and go back to Barcelona for £5 million at 21 was crazy to me at the time. It really was. So all I saw was they had Rio and Vidic, and they then allowed this future, you know, star to leave because they had Johnny Evans in there as well. And yeah, what a mistake that turned out to be. So,
and a mistake for anyone that played Robert Snodgrass that weekend, a DMP by the sounds of it.
Snotty.
Just shows you, still going strong.
No, thanks a lot, guys. This has been awesome. Really great to talk to you guys. I was really looking forward to this, and happy holiday.
Oh, thank you for coming on. It looks like that champagne and pineapple concoction you have there is very nice. I may be joining you on a few of those tomorrow.
Yeah, cheers, boys. Thank you, Black. Excellent as always. Yeah, Gemma, thank you very much indeed. And yeah, wish everyone that's listening, thanks for their support over the last few weeks since we started this little podcast up. And yeah, wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Cold outside.
Merry Christmas, all.